Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session. Welcome back to Fright School. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joshua.
Oh, listen to that run. Yes. Yes.
Mariah is thawing.
Oh, man. I've seen so many memes. And I have to say, I'm not like a huge Mariah Carey fan or anything, but I love her awareness. Did you see her tweet like back on like, you know, I think it was, it might have been Halloween or maybe it was November 1st where she's like a witch riding on a broom and then all of a sudden it changes to her riding a bike or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's all witchy and she's cackling and then it, you know, the calendar flips to November 1st and she becomes like Christmassy Mariah on a reindeer.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's time. I like that. Yeah. It endeared me to her a little bit that she's like well aware of the intrusiveness of her song on the Halloween spirit time. Because you know my opinion, like, okay, why do I always do this to myself? I need to write it down somewhere and maybe I'll remember it. What is the September holiday?
Labor Day.
Okay. So the day after Labor Day to the day before Thanksgiving, that's Halloween. In my opinion. I'm sure there's lots of other holidays and lots of other things in between that we can celebrate. I recognize that, and all of that's valid and valuable, and we should do it. But I like to keep celebrating Halloween up until the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So all of this, people putting decorating trees and shit November 1st. No, stop it. But I did enjoy that video that Mariah put out because I thought that showed a certain level of like awareness and being in on the joke that I was surprised she had. I don't know enough about her. You know, I like the Emancipation of Mimi.
Yes.
I love that record.
I also like the Emancipation of Mimi.
That was a great little album back when I was young and in the clubs. When I was in the clubs.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you said clubs because I knew you were going to say closet.
No, I'm not in the closet, but I couldn't find my old man voice. There it is.
James Mason.
Yeah, I had to find it.
Did find it.
When I was in the clubs, and, you know, it was...
Do you remember, Joshua?
We belonged together by Mariah Carey.
Yes, yes. It's like that, y'all. Do you remember being in the club when the song In the Club came out?
Yes! No, I was too young for that, I think. I think I was still in maybe a freshman in the club. What year was that? Wasn't that like 99, 2000?
It might have been 2001.
Okay, yeah. Well, then I was like, yeah, sophomore or junior. Somewhere.
And you weren't in the clubs then?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, because I was like 15. We couldn't get into like the teen clubs until like we were 16, 17.
And oh,
those
okay.
Big X's on you. Or they were just like, they had 16 to 18 nights.
Sure.
You know, or 16 to 20 even, maybe, I guess, probably. You just couldn't drink, but there were teen clubs that you could go to in Ohio.
Nice.
Not the point. Joseph, you have been traveling. Let's talk a little bit about that.
I have. I went to the city of Baltimore, Maryland, for work. And I went a few days, I went the weekend before the conference started to hang out with my dear friend Jake. Shout out, Jake. Hey, Hager. He is the host of another podcast that you can hear. You can listen to me talk about horror on as well.
Oh.
It's called Thwarp, a podcast
yes.
for fans.
Yeah.
And so I stayed with him in his lovely home. There is an assault happening behind us.
Yeah, the cats are going nutso.
They're going
nuts.
Anyways,
go ahead.
Pemlock has things to say about the city of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a marvelous host. We did lots of gay things. Yeah. I went to two different like Baltimore drag shows.
You knew him before, right?
Yeah. So
you didn't meet because of the podcast.
We met because of a podcast, but we didn't meet Because of his podcast.
Okay, very cool.
But we've met. We're internet friends. We're internet friends who met in real life.
Who met in real life? Look at that. It is possible.
It is possible. And he is such a darling. He's such a sweetheart. I got to see the best of like queer Baltimore, and like I just was highly. I think it's also because he lives near Johns Hopkins, so he lives in a college-y neighborhood. But it just felt very queer and affirming, being around in that area.
Yeah,
and it was so cool to watch Baltimore drag and how like fun and kooky they are and super glamorous and. You know, one of my favorite queens, Madeline Madison McPherson, who is admittedly, she said that she is the Baltimore's only black K-pop queen, K-pop princess.
I love it.
Three
names. I like that too.
Yes. Yeah,
that's divadom, sophistication.
Yes, exactly.
Speaks to a house. Was she from the house of McPherson?
I don't know if she's from the house of McPherson.
Because like when everybody's got like Davenport in their name.
Sure.
Or, you know, something tucked somewhere, you know.
McPherson is spelled with like the word fierce in it. So it's like Mick Fierce Son.
Okay, I see her. I like it.
I know. She's a wordplay.
I like that.
Okay, she's into wordplay.
Which hanky do you put in your pocket for that?
For wordplay? I think you put in a copy of the New York Times.
There we go. Perfect.
The crossword section. Just hanging out. And then the second show was actually, it was at like a very like kind of, it felt very trendy, clubby, gay bar called The Manor. And we got tickets because they have like a once a month party there called House Party, HAUS, of course. And there's drag there and all this stuff. And so they were celebrating the 1 year of this party, the 1 year anniversary of this party. And they had a headliner was Brooklyn Heights Drag Race fame.
Drag Race fame.
Canada's Drag Race, as it were. But the really cool thing is that like the performers before Brooklyn, before Brooke, were all local girls. Also, I believe from the house. So here's the fun part is that in Baltimore, there is a very well-known queen whose name is Brooklyn, like the town, and Heights, like in the Heights.
Okay.
So it was kind of, I had to like wrap my head around that there's Brooke space Lynn space Heights, and then there's Brooklyn Heights.
And they were both performing on the same bill?
Yes.
That must have been interesting.
And she's like the mother, current mother of the House of Heights, but the show was hosted by her daughter, Washington Heights.
Of course.
Of course. And then there were other girls there. There was Stelia Manns. There was like all these other really great queens, but what I loved about it was that it was such an intimate show. Like the way the club is set up is like, it's this kind of huge row townhouse type thing, freestanding. And the bottom part is a very, like, looks like a really shishy restaurant. And then you go upstairs and you see like, there's a dance floor and there's different rooms. There's a bar up there. And, the dance floor is also the stage for the drag. And so probably all said and done, like the dance floor might have been as big as your living room. Like the whole room might have been as big as your living room, but then they taped
intimate,
and then they taped out where like the audience would be and then where the drag performers would be. I took the task upon myself while, you know, Jake was there, you know, seeing other friends and getting us drinks to just kind of hold our spot on the dance floor, which ended up being a good idea because the show was supposed to start at 11 and, you know, by drag standards, 11:30, right?
Right.
Maybe quarter till. This show didn't get off until like after midnight. And,
wow.
And the reason why is because Brooke, she flew in from Houston and Delta lost her bags. They went to Detroit. And so she was staying with one of the other girls during the day. Like she had been there since like, you know, she had been there forever.
I think that's pretty typical. Like here, like when, you know, I used to hang out with some of the queens here. Anytime those girls flew in, we'd go over to their house and there'd be some person with no eyebrows, you know, hanging out on the couch, like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. Someone's just hanging
and
out.
And it was Detox. That's how I met Detox before she was Detox.
Oh, nice.
That. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So at like around 10:45, she told us all of this later, like after her set, and she, after 10:45, she gets a text message from Delta saying that her bags are arriving at the airport. They came in, and so
it wasn't like she could run around and get a kit together.
So she did. So she, her and someone else was in a car rushing to the airport. She was doing her beat. Like she was like, I was just like blocking my eyebrows in the car. And then she was doing her face. So that way when they got the bag and they got back to the place, she could just get ready.
Okay.
And like that's why it took so late, because even though there were girls going on before,
no, but you want everybody to be ready,
exactly,
because if something happens, yeah,
exactly.
But no, I guess what I meant was she didn't rush around to drugstores to buy new makeup.
No,
she was just like, I'm not. No, going, but she they like, better find my bags.
Yeah, she lost her like, and the bag had her like her outfits too. So yeah, like she said that she was
the whole thing, no
exactly,
drag, yeah.
No drag at all. And so she was ready. She said, I was ready to host this thing in boy. Like she was going to come in and just serve boy the whole time.
Yeah.
But she decided when all that came up, it's like, okay, we'll just have them, you know, wait. And then,
yeah. Trixie Mattel talked about that on one of her recent videos where she was in London and left everything there. Like, wow. I don't know if it got lost. I don't know exactly what happened, but she got where she was going, had nothing, nothing at all, and had to, like, she said she went to, like, three different, like, drugstores, Sephora, and all this stuff, put together, like, an emergency drag bag, and then toured with it for, like, 7 weeks and was showing off how little makeup she needed to, like, do a full, it was really kind of cool, actually. I was like, oh, shit, I should really, like, tone down the amount of makeup I travel with me, and I'm not even in drag, but I still take more makeup everywhere with me than ever will be necessary. So that's really cool. So she was able to get ready in the car. How'd she look?
She looked great.
Yeah.
She did.
I'm sure all queens have been in that situation where you have to get ready on a bus or on, you know, like touring, traveling.
Exactly. She looked good. And the cool thing about like what she did was that she had, she was dressed like Miranda Priestly. And like she was doing like, you know, the lip sync thing, you know, the lip sync of the dialogue lip sync with Devil Wears Prada and then like songs in between. But she was the only one who did like dialogue stuff. And it really was just like great. And she had reveals and
how fun
she made it worth it. And the best part was at the end when she was describing her story. And then afterwards she was like, okay, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then everyone just started laughing and, you know, threw money at her because, you know,
of course,
Canada.
Well, overall, it was a good trip.
You overall, was a very good trip. That is all I will say on the air. I'll tell you everything else after.
Oh, you know me. I don't care. I don't want to hear that nonsense, that gay shit you do. No, I'm very glad that you. I'm glad that you had a good time, and I enjoyed seeing some of the photos and stuff that you sent.
Oh, well, the other thing, I went to the Hamden neighborhood of Baltimore, where apparently John Waters lived when he was.
Yeah.
Jake said that he's like, I'm going to show you the alley where the rats are fucking in this one John Waters movie, and I was like, okay, cool. And apparently,
you're like, who's John Waters?
I know.
I'm teasing.
I was like, because of you, I know who John Waters is.
Yes, you sent a lovely postcard, which I enjoyed and shared with the masses on the social media.
And I bought that at the bookstore that is apparently John Waters' official fan mail address.
Cool.
Atomic Books, Atomic Comics.
Huh.
And there was a whole wall of just like, he apparently just like signs a bunch of things. So they had like several copies of like the Criterion Collection, Pink Flamingos, Female Trouble, where it's just signed. All his books are there signed.
Just buy stuff there.
John Waters Funkos signed. Like it was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I want one of those. I wonder if they sell them online. I'll have to look.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I was really happy to hear like when you were kind of sending little notes and things about what you were up to. It sounds like it was a good trip.
It was a very good trip.
Yay.
What have you been up to?
Not much, just schooling.
Schooling life.
Yeah, very, very busy with that. I did just want to promote, I'll put it in the chat, I had the extreme pleasure to be on Geekscape's X-Men, the animated series, like 30th anniversary, you know, remembrance live stream. with, you know, Matt Kelly obviously was there. And, sorry, hold on one moment. I just want to make sure I get everybody's names correct because I am doing this on the fly all of a sudden.
She was there. That was the only thing that, you know, she was she was the only one there to talk about, you know, the beauty of the X-Men, which I think I have seen that cartoon.
Yeah, it's from the 90s. So Caitlin Crusoe was on there. She has the Final Frontier pod over on Geekscape, along yes. with some other podcasts and other things that she does. She also created a film, an X-Universe fan film called Uncanny. She wrote and directed that, starring the other woman who was live, sorry, I don't know what is going on with my brain. Alexa, I think it's Capiello, Capiello. She's an actress, and I think she does like voice work and all kinds of stuff. She was super cool to chat with. You know, everybody involved. Caitlin was great, of course. Matt is always lovely to have on, you know, to be in the presence of and chatting. And it was just like, yeah, four nerds like nerding out over the X-Men. And it was super fun for me because usually when I go on other shows, I don't talk about other things other than horror. You know, if I go on to another show, it's usually in the context of, you know, talking about a horror film or whatever their thing is, you know, making it about horror. So it's rare that I get to show any other like geekery that I have. And so it was really fun because I do. I'm a big, you know, X-Men fan. I loved that series growing up. There was a lot that I, you know, still kind of echoes in my personality in weird ways because of the X-Men and in the films. So it was a super fun time. And so like, check it out. Cause it was just delightful. Like talking about what the X-Men means. And because it was like four very different views. Like, you know, I'm talking very much about like what it was like as a queer person to experience. Mm-hmm. You know, you have two women talking about it. And then of course, Matt, who always has great, you know, he comes from so many interesting perspectives himself. So it just, I don't know. I felt it was a really well-rounded conversation about what, you know, a 30-year-old cartoon still has like such relevance and importance in our life. So click the link and, you know, show notes.
And watch it.
And I'll share it on our, you know, our Fright School social media. He's fine, y'all. Don't worry. He's just an asshole. If you can hear him like screaming in the background, demanding to be let in and then let out and then let in and then let out. So, okay. So the other thing we said we were going to chat about here was you finished Interview with the Vampire, the new AMC Immortal Universe, whatever they're calling it, series. That'll yes. include The Mayfair Witches is coming out, I think, in January. So yeah, you finished it. We did as well. What'd you think overall? Had you seen the original film? Have you read the book?
Never. Okay. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, yeah, you never could have accidentally read it.
Yes.
I don't know.
Never seen it. Never read it.
Okay.
So I'm going completely blind. I think maybe
Must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was
for your perspective.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I mean, like, I remember watching a little bit of a little bits and pieces here, like, you know, flipping through the television of Interview with the Vampire. I think I saw like when like Kirsten Dunst is like in a hole and the sun is coming.
Oh, yeah. Claudia.
But yeah, I watched it and I binged it. I saved it all for the plane. So I was binging it on the plane on my iPad. And the experience of watching that show, which is bloody and sexy,
yeah,
on a plane was very, I was very aware. I was like, okay, they're going to think things about me, but it's fine. I enjoyed it. I thought it was like, there were parts that were just kind of like banal and darkly comedic and mm-hmm. very like, oh, this is just like a relation. This is like a family show.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like a family sitcom, only, you know, they're incinerating bodies and killing people. And it was very interesting. And I'm curious to see how the next season's going to go.
Yeah.
I also just like love, I love Eric Bogosian as Daniel Malloy. I think that's the best casting. He just has that, like, you know, I could give a shit about who you are. You don't scare me.
Yeah. And yeah, he plays the journalist.
Yeah, he plays the journalist, and he's doing a really great job of it. You know, that's not to take away from everyone else who's playing, you know, Louis. I think that the Lestat is very, the man who plays Lestat is like appropriately histrionic.
Yeah, Sam. I forget what his name is. Sam something. Not the point.
But he's appropriately histrionic, but like the girl who plays Claudia. Oh, she should get nominated for an Emmy. She was. Yeah. I think that she was just fantastic in it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her. It's very fascinating because, so the novel, Claudia is 5 years old when she's turned into a vampire. So she's, you know, a child. But as she ages, obviously, and progresses, she's, you know, a woman, you know, a 40-year-old woman in a 5-year-old's body. And it, like, drives her insane, which adds its own kind of, you know, there's that. And then Kirsten Dunst played her. I think she's kind of 11 or 12. And then they moved her up to, she's 14. But still kind of prepubescent, so you could still have that sort of challenge of, like, because I read an interview with that actress, and she talked about, like, all the costuming and the things kind of underneath to make her body stay looking. You know, they have to, like, she has to wear, like, a binding kind of outfit and everything, sort of, just to keep her looking like she's not womanly.
Yeah.
So that she looks like a girl who's dressing up, you know, in her mother's clothes or something. So it definitely added a different sort of perspective doing it that way. I don't know if they'll kind of continue, because I feel like they never really touched on too much of her, like, anger. I mean, there's a little bit, there's flashes of it, but, like, she's really, I think, in the novel, much more, like, insane, like, homicidal rage, because she's trapped, you know, as this baby, basically. And it really makes her hate both Louis and Lestat. So, yeah, I do think she's doing a great job with how the changes they made to the story. Mm-hmm. And overall, I liked most of the changes. I personally, I've said this before on the show, and there's a reason we've never done Interview with the Vampire as a film, because I'm not a big fan of the vampires, and the kind of the story that Anne Rice creates. It's overwrought, and so I like this way better than the novel and the movie that they made in the 90s, but as it wore on, there were definitely some things where I'm like, there it is. Because the first few episodes, I'm like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm in for this. Like, they're making some really interesting choices story-wise, doing some different things, kind of playing, you know, with questions about race and things that really, as we've talked about in the past, like, really come into, like, vampire mythology and conversations about vampirism. So I was really enjoying that. But then, yeah, as it kind of went on, I was like, okay, there it is. There's the overwrought, like, drama of it all. And so I will continue to watch, especially, I don't want to give it away. I know we do spoil things a lot, but we're not a television, you know, kind of usually show. So I don't want to spoil the twist at the very end, which kind of surprised me, just because the characters that, you know, that they are revealing, I also had some preconceived notions about what they would look like in this iteration.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah. But I don't want to spoil, because, you know, in case people are still watching it. But I like where they're going, and it'll be very curious to see how they actually deal with Claudia and what happens to her and, you know, that story. So I'm glad you watched it. How did you do with, like, I mean, I'm sure everything just goes right over you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When in Claudia's particular story,
the gore, I mean.
Oh, the gore was fine. The gore was the gore was nothing. the baby, though, that was weird. The baby stuff. I was like, "Oh, they done showed that."
Yeah.
That was really, that was a little, you know, spoiler alert for all of you.
Right.
There's a baby who gets eaten. But the episode that was Claudia focus was really interesting because she was talking about, like, you know, like, being, she's like, every time I have sex, is it going to be like the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, she's alluding to that. And
right. Which is like for Jessica in True Blood.
Yeah.
You know, who's turned before she loses her virginity.
Yeah. And then you have like the, oh God, like Lestat just saying, like, you know, her pocket. Like, that was, because I had the subtitles on. So it'd be like, you know, put in your pocket. And I'm like, oh, ew, no. Don't talk about the girl's pocket, not the pocket. You know, her pocket.
Sorry.
That was too much.
Joe, I love you. I enjoy it. That's delightful.
But yeah, overall, I thought it was great. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I saw the trailer for Mayfair Witches. I don't know if I'll watch it. I like Alexandra Daddario.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of missing her on this season of White Lotus. So
yeah, I will definitely watch The Lives of the Mayfair Witches, mostly because I love witch shit. I also did read the first novel in that series. So I definitely want to see how they approach it. You know, AMC does interesting things. I'm kind of here to check it out,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see. Again, there is just a general, like, Anne Rice just has her own kind of world building that I don't always like exactly resonate with. So it'll just kind of depend on how they temper
sure.
that sort of, you know, tendency towards, like, you know, melodrama.
Sure.
But again, she had, you know, lots of success with that. So what the fuck do I know?
Yeah. Until she didn't.
Well, yeah, but that's a whole other thing. So, alrighty. Well, yeah, check out Interview with the Vampire. It's on AMC Plus, I think. You can watch all the episodes, or I'm sure AMC will show it in a marathon eventually. You know, midnight watching. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break and we will be back to, you know, we're continuing November kind of with Barbarian.
I just want to apologize. I'm sorry to everyone. I was very naive and very stupid. And I shouldn't have put other people in danger. I am so sorry for everything that has happened, because in spite of what Joshua says, it's now all my fault. I insisted our listeners subscribe to Fright School on Apple Podcasts. I insisted they leave us reviews. I insisted that they give us a 5-star rating. And it's all because of me that we're here now and we're being hunted. I love you, Mom and Dad. I am so sorry. I only wanted to make good content for our listeners. I'm so scared. I'm going to die out here. Joshua, is that you?
All right, welcome back. Well, yes, we are continuing November 2022. Although I don't think we've done this in the past, so I don't know why I said that. But the point is that after October and all the, you know, things that we were watching and getting caught up on, we're now getting even more caught up on everything we, you know, tried to see and didn't. Mm-hmm. So we had the, I had the distinct pleasure of hanging out with Joe and watching Barbarian.
Barbarian.
From, you know, Welcome to the Stage, Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Written and directed by Zach Cregger. Has he done anything else that we know of? Who is? I don't know who that is. Whoops.
Hold on. We're producing as we go along.
No, it's okay. We don't really have to talk about that. But we got Georgina Campbell, Bill Skarsgård, and, you know, honorary Scream Queen, Justin Long in the film. About a, you know, woman who gets herself a Airbnb for an evening, and when she arrives, there's somebody already staying there, and things happen, as does in a horror film. So, Joe, what'd you think?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it a lot. I'd watch it again. I'd watch it at an Airbnb. I think that would be really fun. Do this with the rental, I think we were talking about. I thought it was really cool how the different acts were set up.
Yeah.
And how they all eventually connected together. I like that structure. It's like, it's kind of like an anthology structure, but it's not. Yeah, very fun, very good. Also the best movie to like go in not knowing anything about it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So if you're listening to this, spoiler alert, because I do think it is better to watch it first. So maybe you should pop a pause and go over to who has it right now?
HBO Max.
HBO Max, that's right. You know,
so go and watch it. Stop this right now because it's going to be spoiled to high heaven.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it. It was fucking bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started as one thing and you feel like, yeah, I know this story. I know where this is going. No, it took a huge left turn into something.
Mm-hmm.
Else entirely. So, but I like that because I think it's hard, you know, it's hard to make movies these days. It's hard to tell stories. And I'm sure somebody can find something that reminds, oh, this sounds just like this movie or that movie, I'm sure. But whatever that is, I didn't know it. So it definitely twisted me up. You know, I was like, sure. Oh, what is happening? Where are we going?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It was a good time. I definitely think I would like to, you know, we're going to do another book retreat. And at the last one, because we rented, you know, an Airbnb, and I did bring the rental and we watched the rental. That was sufficiently delightful to scare everybody. And now I think this would be a fun one. This definitely plays on fears that I have anytime I get an Airbnb of like, what if I go there and like the person, there's somebody else there or, you know. Like the last time when I went up to LA, the lock wouldn't open. The other thing where they kept, it was like a digital lock. The code didn't work. Tried it several times. Then I went to the, box with the, they had a key that in case the lock fails, you can like let yourself in with the key. That code also did not work. So I couldn't open that. Broke one of my nails trying to get it open. Very, very sad day. Yeah, it was just a lot of drama. And I'm just like, great, I'm stuck out here in the courtyard of these people's house. You know.
How did you get in?
She happened to be home.
Oh,
and came out and did it with me a couple times. I'm like, lady, I told you, it's not working. I know how to read. So she let me in, and then they had to like reset it. It was a whole drama, whatever. They were very nice, and she actually gave me money back for the trouble, even though I was like, whatever. I got a bed, and I was able to sleep. So
good. You get some monies. You get some monties.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, you know, this is just like that perfect setup for a horror film of like, you know. Actually, you know, I forgot. It does remind me of another movie I saw, which was Gone in the Night with Winona Ryder. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar, where Winona Ryder and is it... who's her? No. Who plays her boyfriend? Is it John Gallagher Jr.?
Oh.
So they play like a couple who, same thing. They're traveling. They get an Airbnb. And when they get there, there's another couple already there. And then it's like, well, why don't you just stay? Like, it'll be fine. We can share the place. And yeah, drama ensues. Kind of very similar to this story. But goes in. Actually, Gone in the Night also does a really weird left turn, and what it turns out to be is like, what? And this is kind of similar, but not at all the same. What the fuck?
Okay.
So yeah, so we have what's her name, Tess Marshall. She's gone to Detroit to, what was it she was doing, interviewing for a job or
with like, a documentarian.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she gets to her Airbnb, little Pennywise is there, little Billy Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Who
looking like a full snack.
Well, to you, yeah. Yeah. You do. You do like that kind of thing. You do like it. That's your thing. No, he is. He's very, you know, he's a cute guy. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, he's just like, oh, just, it's fine. We can, like, stay here. I mean, I do think he tries, you know.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess it's probably not even fair to ask. This is why we should add a woman. Come on and talk about, like, are you staying or are you leaving? Because I'm leaving. I'm like, you know what? No, there has to be somewhere else to stay. Like, I don't want to stay with a stranger. Maybe I'm just that kind of, like, you know, like.
I mean, it could also be that, like, so, like, if it were me and I showed up there and there was this man there, like, no matter how handsome, it's like, you could be the owner of the house.
Right.
Like, you don't know if they're entirely correct about who they say they are.
Right.
So, yeah, I would, like, be in my car. I'd figure out I go sleep at the airport, like, something else other than staying there. Because at that point, it's just no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think I would be desperate enough. I mean, I know they put her in that situation, like, there's no hotels anywhere. Because it's like, you can drive somewhere, I'm sure. There's got to be a room someplace. And yeah. Then just make Airbnb. Did they ever actually explain how they double booked?
No, I don't think they did.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's ever sufficiently.
No, it's not. They basically had it up on two different places.
Right.
Which is common for Airbnbs, right? Or they some houses, they book the house through Airbnb or they book the house through the other thing. And it's up to like the property manager to make sure that they.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not. Versed enough on Airbnb operations, but I kept wondering, like, was that on are they trying to, like, you know, trap like a man and a woman in the house? So it's like they, you know, like, is there more devious happening, or is it just, you know, lucky for the, you know, the goings ons in the house that this technical glitch happened, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause he, you know, later when Justin Long's character is introduced, what was his name? The asshole, AJ Gilbride, AJ, mm-hmm. The actor, who's a piece of trash, shows up. It's his house and he's on the phone with the Airbnb people and they're just like, oh, we don't know what happened or, you know, we don't know why they should have checked out or whatever. Cause you know, it's weeks later and all their stuff is still there because of what's happening in the house.
Yeah.
So, Bill's character, which I have forgotten what his name is. Do you remember?
Keith.
Yeah. You have such a good memory for stuff like this. You know, go you.
I just thought it was a strange, like, name for for a character like that. That's like, not like Sam or Adam, you know, like right. Keith. Hi, Keith. My name's Keith. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So Keith does seem to be, you know, a nice guy.
Legit.
And they figure it out. He gives her the bedroom. She can lock herself in there and he can do his thing.
He apparently knows the subject very well that she's going to be, wants to be, like he's in her industry.
Oh, that's right. It's like a whole, like, it's serendipitous. Like,
yeah, very, very much.
So anyways, but somebody opens up her door in the night and it's not him, but who is it? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And he leaves, he disappears or something.
He left to go do something like, I don't know what he leaves to go do something. He left a note for her.
That's right. That's right. And she goes off to do all of her stuff. And then, you know, when she comes back,
he's like, please, you know, leave the key in the lockbox because he's going to be back.
That's right. I'm trying to remember how she gets into the basement. She gets locked down there after the guy who scares her, who tries to like get her attention. Again, you know, sometimes people, you have to listen to, you know, what you perceive as the crazy homeless person on the street. Yeah. They might know something more.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much you could trust that in all situations.
True.
But in this one, maybe she should have stopped for a second and heard him out. Anyway, that was actually a really creepy scene when she goes down to the basement and then she like finds that room with like this mattress and the camcorder and shit.
Mattress and the camcorder,
that yeah. was really creepy. So then I started thinking, okay, now I feel like I know where this movie's going. But again, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But you think, like, oh gosh, this is one of these movies. It's going to be like Gothica or whatever, where they're like making snuff films and, you know, it's going to be all... You've not seen Gothica, have you?
I was like, did you just spoil Gothica
Shit.
For me?
Wow. well, that's too bad, because I actually think it would be fun to watch Gothica, because it's about, like, you know, a psychiatric institution. It could be really fun for, like, a mental health awareness month. we'll get there.
Gothica, Unsane.
Well, it's like a prison. It's like a psychiatric prison or something. Yes, Unsane, all of that. Yeah, so anyways, she's, like, venturing in this tunnel... You know, with all these like hidden rooms under this house, like it's fucking Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. And she finds poor Keith. And then they are both attacked by some kind of like scary creature. Kind of look like the creature in Wreck or like Quarantine.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the creature design in this movie kind of reminds me of that. Yeah. So then all of that, like... The mother, is that what she was called?
Kind of reminded me of Hattie from The Quiet Room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's some of that too.
But just like a little bit more tit.
Yes, definitely more of all of that.
Yes.
Yeah, which again is like a real creepy part of this movie is just like this, like, I guess she's mm-hmm. like a product of like incest and like.
Decades of incest.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you were talking about earlier, where this movie feels like a bit of an anthology movie where you have this story with Tess and Keith, then it flashes back to like the 50s or something when the original owner and
no,
then you also have Justin Long's character.
No, it's Tess and Keith and then AJ and
right.
then the 50s.
That's right. That to come back and underpin and explain yeah. it all. Because we're sitting there like...
The 80s.
What the fuck is happening?
It's the 80s. It's Reagan. They talk about Reagan.
Oh, you're right. It is the 80s. Whatever. It looked much older to me. Especially with like the way they had the houses looking and stuff. They look like some kind of...
Well, I think that
Leave
that's,
It to Beaver.
I think that that's intentional because then when Reagan comes on... And then it's like white flight, right?
Right.
It's the white flight from the suburbs yeah. of Detroit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then everything, like, because this neighborhood that they're in, when she gets there, it was interesting. At night, it looked like it was a nice neighborhood. Like, they yeah. didn't really give you any clue, because the house is nice looking that she mm-hmm. goes into. Obviously, once she and Keith kind of negotiate staying, it's like, oh, this is kind of cute. It's a nice little place. But then in the daylight, it's like
Blight.
Burned out.
Yeah.
Houses and very, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, all like the worst stereotypes that you imagine of like some rundown neighborhood. It's just like yeah. this terrifying place all of a sudden that she's in.
Yeah.
But when they flash back, it's like, yeah, cute, you know, very Leave It to Beaver is what it reminded me of. I think that's why I was thinking it was the 50s, but you're right, it was the 80s. But anyways, the point is that, yeah, we find out that the original homeowner, Frank, has been, like, you know, kidnapped the woman and has been making, like, babies with her and babies with the babies and all
kinds of... And snuff films, too.
And snuff films, all kind of horrible, torturous, awful shit. And there's this, like, the hills have eyes, you know, woman, X-Files home... episode kind of thing happening, and she just, you know, she just wants to take care of, you know, Keith and Tess and mm-hmm. AJ, you know, just breastfeed them and,
well, not
hold them,
because she,
oh, that's true, she, well, because he tries to escape.
Yes,
that's right.
Did not see that coming.
No, because again, it was like that Drew Barrymore kind of thing of like, oh, Bill Skarsgård, okay, he's in this. And then, yeah, he's like, yeah, well, yeah, not long.
Yeah.
He's not long for this world. That was really graphic, too, and really shocking, because it's yeah. just like she runs up on him and just does him in.
Yeah.
Gory, bloody.
Yeah. split Pennywise right open.
Right open. Delish. And then, yeah, poor Tess is, like, trapped down there. That it was very claustrophobic at times. Like, I think if I would have seen this in a movie theater, it would have been really uncomfortable.
Like The Descent.
Like The Descent, exactly. Yeah. Like, running through the dark. And then, because the mother is so pale, and she's, like, at the end of the hall, like, you know, at the end of these tunnels, like, lurking. It was just, like, ugh. So scary and gross. Another big conversation that happens in the movie. So, you know, you sort of have this, like, what was the subject of her documentary? Sorry, I couldn't remember what that was.
Musicians, Baltimore, something about Detroit.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the point is that you kind of have Tess, who's a very, like, modern woman, you know, making a movie and, you know, doing this sort of thing. And then you have the mother, this, like, you know, poor, I mean, you feel like it's one of these movies where it's like, you feel bad for her too. Like, the monster of this movie is, like, you know, made from just abject horror and human suffering. And then you have AJ, who's an actor who, you know, I guess is, like, doing really well and all happy, but then it turns out, like, his co-star in this new show or film or whatever they're doing is accusing him of sexual assault. And as the film goes on, like, at first it's kind of muddy about whether or not, but then obviously as it goes on, you kind of realize, oh, this dude fucking sucks.
This dude is awful, and he is, as he tells on himself more.
Right.
It's like, no, you are a piece of shit. Because, like, immediately I knew that he was bad when he was just like, when he starts calling her a bitch, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, ooh, see, this is where I don't like the word, because you mean it in the way that you mean it in a way that is,
right,
that is, like, literally cutting and stuff. And then I was actually talking to Jake about Barbarian, and he's like, yeah, like, forever, I just need to get a gif of Justin Long saying, hey, faggot.
Oh, gosh. That's right.
What's up, faggot, or whatever he says.
Yeah, that was kind of that was that moment, too, where it kept getting worse and worse. And you're like, oh, okay, so this guy is...
We don't want him to live.
This is not, he's not, like, some good guy who, you know, has been misinterpreted or made a mistake or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, obviously, like, a slime ball. And so you can't wait for stuff to happen to him. And then, of course, in the end, you know, he, like, throws poor Tess under the bus, you know, instead of...
He figures out that...
to save himself. So I thought this was sort of interesting. The ending of the movie. And I wonder, do you think they'll make a sequel to this? I guess they kind of set up an idea for, like, a new, like, franchise. They could certainly explore more.
Do you think it's going to be like Hostel 2, where it's actually like a network of houses?
Right.
It's like a network of houses, but it's also like it's a religion. You know what I mean? Like, it's some sort of, like, larger conspiracy, because I feel like that's kind of what they set up for me.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that there's something bigger going on, you know, and then they can tie it to, like, it's sort of like the it thing of, like, the rot in Maine, you know, the rot in Derry. And so this, like, neighborhood, it would be explained if all those houses were, like, connected, and the horror of it all. I don't know. I like this article I found, how a self-help book inspired the horror film Barbarian. So in the late 90s, Gavin DeBecker wrote a book about learning to spot warning signs and trusting your gut to avoid danger. The book's called The Gift of Fear. Apparently it was a long-standing bestseller. So writer-director Zach Cregger, it was the inspiration for his new film. And so there's a quote. There was a chapter in the book that was really primarily directed towards women, and he was encouraging women to pay attention to these little minor red flags that men can give off in day-to-day situations. They can be very innocuous things that you might not notice. Things like complimenting you when it's not necessarily appropriate, or doing you a favor that you didn't ask for, or touching in a non-sexual way that's not initiated by you. DeBecker says of these red flags that the gift of fear equips you with the ability to identify potential threats.
Mm-hmm.
And so Krieger said, I had this epiphany that I don't ever have to think about that kind of thing. I don't have to consider that half the population might be somebody that means to do me harm for no reason. I just realized I occupy a completely different psychic landscape than most women do. So let's see. So he said, yeah, he wrote the scenes took place in a double booked Airbnb. I'll make this guy really nice, but I will give him a ton of these little triggers. He stuck to that rule that if he was surprising himself with his writing, then he has to be surprising his audience. As long as I have no long plan, then no one could know what's coming. And that's very true.
Yeah.
Of this film. He definitely pulls that off. Sorry, I was just kind of looking. Oh, well, that's kind of it for what he said. But anyway, so that kind of made me think about, we've obviously had this conversation before about obviously the different psychic, you know, psychological spaces that men and women in general will say, because plenty of men mm-hmm. feel unsafe and plenty of women don't feel unsafe in certain situations.
Sure.
But generally speaking, society is obviously set up. I think about the list.
Yes.
You know, when I think about, you know, doing back in the day, doing the Mending monologues and how we created, or whoever you would that.
I wrote that.
You wrote that.
Yeah.
So the list, which is a lovely piece. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So, I wrote this piece for the Mending monologues. We've talked about it many times on here. Basically it's a poem, that's specifically about the list of things that, women, at the time when I wrote it, I was thinking about it from a perspective of from the perspective of a woman. It was actually inspired by when my sister, younger sister, moved into her first apartment in a different city. She was living alone by herself, and when I went to go visit her, the list that I was going through of my head of like the security of the apartment, so like
right.
how to get into the elevator, where her the placement of her. Of the placement of her apartment on the floor, you know, all of these things, her profession, all of those things, and just thinking about her in that way. And also how like exhausting that must also be for women who do think about those things on a daily basis, especially women who live alone or, you know, who carry trauma in this way.
Yeah. Or I think about even that maybe they don't even think, like it's so ingrained that you just naturally do those things automatically. Like, I don't think about looking in the back seats of cars or under the car or, like, when I go home, like, are all the doors locked? Are all the windows locked? You know, is there somebody hiding in my showers? Is somebody hiding in my car? Like, we just don't consider those things at all, where it might be a little bit more, for some women, you know, that might be a little bit more presence in their life of an auto check, you know, of like something that you're almost like, you know, you just do these things automatically. You reach into your bag, you have your keys, you know, you're ready at all times to like fight someone just in case. And that becomes a normal, natural part of your
life. Like when Keith says like, hey, I noticed that you didn't drink the thing, you know, what I mean? I noticed you didn't drink that. I just want you to know that I'm like not a I'm not going to drug you or basically, but like, I do the same thing, you know, being, as someone who is like, you know, hooked up with guys on the internet, like I don't take any drinks from them unless they're drinking the same thing from, you know what I mean? Like where that's just a safety rule. Also too, it's just like, I feel like this is hashtag fat privilege, right? It's like, I'm big. Like if you're going to take me down, you're going to have to really work to take me down.
Right.
So
yeah.
You're going to work.
No, like, violent person listening to this is like, all right, Joe.
Challenge accepted.
Yes, exactly. Mission. What is it? This is your mission, if you choose to accept it.
Yes.
Take down Joe. No, please don't, because I happen to...
He can't do this. Yeah,
and I can't do this on my own. I can't edit this myself. but yeah, what a great kind of... And I do think that he does a good job of like, because I remember as we were watching it, we'd be like, careful girl. But she didn't. It was there.
Yeah.
It was that kind of understanding. Or when he's like, you know, how about we drink the wine? And he put the glasses out and he got the wine. It's like, girl, she didn't want the wine.
She locks the door every single time.
Yeah.
And then when she feels like sufficiently safe, right? Or like, you know, he's revealed himself to be this quote unquote nice
guy. Right. When they kind of bond a little and like reveal.
She
like,
just closes the door and doesn't lock it.
I know, but we were both like, girl, lock that door.
Lock that fucking door, girl. Like, see, here's the thing. If I had to stay, like if I had to stay, I would lock that door. I'd put my suitcase in front of it. Yeah. I would make it so that way, assuming that that's the only way in and out of the room. Like, you want to make it difficult for them, or at least, like, you know, something.
Yeah.
But again, I also feel like it's so strange for me to, since I do feel like I am the person who, I look at the backseat of the car. Why? Because fucking Dexter, season one, episode one. I check the shower. I check the shower. Why? Because, actually, because of Coven, the pig man. because of Murder House, the pig man.
Right.
And Psycho and everything and all of that stuff. Like, horror movies have made me neurotic. Joshua.
And I think they've done the opposite to me, because I'm just sort of like, I don't often consider like personal safety in that way. I mean, I don't like to be out on the, you know, there are certain places I don't want to be, you know, certain states I don't want to be in, being me. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Like, there are safety issues like that to consider. But yeah, generally speaking, we don't really kind of think about that. But, you know, if there really is no other choice and mm-hmm. I have to stay here. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Like, you stay over there. Stay where I can see you.
Yes.
And I'm going to lock these doors. And if you take offense, if you get upset at that, like, fuck you, then I'm definitely going to fucking put, you know.
Yeah.
Which, again, he's trying to be like, you know. I do think that Keith is, you know, I do think he's a nice guy, that this is just a horrible situation for them both to be in.
Yeah. It's not either of their faults that we live in cis white patriarchy that and like where there's like prevalent misogyny and violence against women, violence against femme identified people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anyway, so I thought that was interesting that, you know, this sort of comes from like a self-help book. But again, I mean, you know, he could have just went to see the many monologues and the list could have inspired him, Joe.
He could have.
You could have inspired someone with this film.
Yes.
Or with your poem. Your beautiful poem. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else to really talk about. I mean, you know, this is just kind of a fun watch. It was twisty as fuck, literally and figuratively, with all the damn tunnels that they built. It's kind of like all those, you know, scary, you know, fucked up stories you read, like that guy in Austria who like kept his daughter, like kidnapped her for like 25 years or whatever, but kept her in like the basement of his house, like locked up or whatever, crazy, had like a bunch of children with her. I mean, this is like, again, not that far from like real life stuff that's happened when we talk about like violence against women and existential horror that women experience.
It's like she's like, you know, Funhouse Kimmy Schmidt, right? Like just this is the gritty Kimmy Schmidt. The Reverend is actually a piece of shit. I mean the Reverend was a piece of shit, but like this was and just the stuff with like the stuff with the lactation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, the bottle, all that stuff. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, I think, I honestly would love to know if the intention for Tess to be a woman of color, a black woman, what if that was intentional, because she did everything she had to do to survive, whether that's playing the part. She's like, just be her baby. Just be her baby. Just let her take care of you. And whereas, like, AJ, you know, Justin Long's character is like not willing to debase himself in that way. And it's always interesting when you see that in horror films, when it's like the people of color, the black people, the people of color in the films are more willing to do what it is that is necessary to survive, because they know that like they just need to get through it. And then it's like usually there's like the white people who are like, no, I'm not doing that, or they fight back, or you know, there's this sort of indignation.
What was that noise? Let's go look.
Yeah.
No.
What was that? Like, no, it's like,
isn't there a nope moment in this?
There is, yeah. She it feels like it's referencing new Candyman.
Yeah, the Candyman that came out.
Where I think it's Tiana Paris, mm-hmm. right? She opens the thing to the basement. She's like, nope, and closes it.
Yeah.
Same thing. She's like, nope. Mm-mm.
Yeah, not going back in there.
Nope.
I was like, yes, that's right. But then, of course, you know.
All of this other shit. Yeah, happens.
Everything has to happen. So, you know, she has to go in there mm-hmm. to make it through, to get it, to get back out, you know, so there'd be a movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I just still don't even really know what to think. I really wish I'd watched it again. I wish I just didn't have time. Or didn't make time, I guess I should say. But I am looking forward to watching it again. Because it was, now knowing what's going to come, it might be easy. Because it's like, you know, your brain is like, what is happening? What is going on?
Yeah, you know? I would just love to be there when you watch it with that group that you're going on the trip with.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, right now I'm not actively planning for a scary movie night again, just because we're trying to change it up a little bit from the last time. And somebody had already suggested something else. So I don't want to, not going to, you know. Push it on people.
Impose your will.
But if there's like a moment where nothing's going on and take a break, like, oh, I'm going to put a film on the television. Would you all like to watch?
Sure.
But yeah, I think showing this with like The Rental and Gone in the Night, that'd make a really great triple feature. Just of like, you know, because The Rental's very cookie cutter. I mean, that's just a straight slasher movie. You kind of know what's happening. You know, the only twist in that movie is like, okay, well, how? How mm-hmm. does that, mm-hmm. How does it work? And we obviously get an answer to that. And then, you know, like I said, Gone in the Night has a totally bonkers plot that goes a lot of insane ways, but not like this. And then this really takes the cake.
What was the one we watched for, didn't we watch an Airbnb one? But earlier this year, what was it called? The two women and like the, do you remember?
Oh yeah. The queer horror one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that called? Oh my God.
We just did it this year. I know this is terrible.
I know.
We do so much, you know, it just goes to show.
Yeah, it's where she and like the guys are like
they're meeting their like gay men friends.
Oh, the retreat.
The retreat. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's
not What Keeps You Alive, which is also kind of similar, but
you need to watch retreat. That with the. That's a triple feature,
quadruple feature.
Ooh,
yeah. We'll do The Rental, Airbnb. Well, no, I guess not with them. So because we already did The Rental, but yeah, The Retreat, Gone in the Night, and then Barbarian, and they just build on. Insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the only thing I can really say, dear listeners, if you've been listening to the show long enough, you know it's pretty rare for Joe to want to watch something again. So that in and of itself, you know, you should definitely go and watch this if you listen to all of this and still have not seen it.
Yeah.
You should check it out because it was quite a ride. Alrighty. Well, we will be back in December because we're going to obviously take the next week off for the holiday. We hope that you know, whatever you're celebrating, however you're celebrating, you know, this harvest season, Indigenous Solidarity, T-Day, whatever. We hope it's good with your
Indigenous. Oh, I thought you said, oh, for whatever reason, I thought you were going to say Indigenous Solidarity Tea Dance.
Oh, well, maybe.
I mean, that's a party you could throw.
The center could definitely make that happen. but yeah, however it is, I hope that you enjoy time with your family and friends, the people that love you and you love, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, be careful on those Airbnb apps. You never know. You never know who's hiding out there. But that's a whole other story, actually, that we could get into and we didn't even get into. Like, there's a great video. I should post that. Okay. Ooh, if I can find it, I'll post it in the comments or in the show notes about, like, the truth behind Airbnb, how much actual violence and, like, scary shit happens that they don't tell anybody is quite frightening. So be careful out there, dear listeners.
I also want to point out there's a BuzzFeed article that talks about, like, the kind of insane charges that like the hidden fees of Airbnb, which are really wild. Like, you know, it's $5 a person to use the jacuzzi, but they never use the jacuzzi, but they only know they got charged it because there's cameras that show that there are more people than originally were on the reservation. Ooh. So I'll send that over to you and you can add that as well.
Yeah, that'll be fun. The horrors of Airbnb. Destroying the housing market, destroying communities.
The bane of HOAs everywhere.
Yes, absolutely. And now with new, fresh, hidden monsters in the tunnels yes. underneath.
That's exactly what happened with the neighborhood in Barbarian, is that the yeah. Airbnb destroyed the property value and it's, you know, caused the blight.
There we go. I love it. All right. Good night.
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davy Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.